First, on April 11th, Dante Wright, a black man, was shot and killed by a white police officer near Minneapolis during a traffic stop. The police chief of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, who has since resigned, said the officer pulled Wright over for driving with expired tags, then found that he had an outstanding warrant. Kim Potter, the officer who shot Wright, said that Wright resisted arrest, that she accidentally fired her gun instead of her taser. Potter has also since resigned. Among other issues, Wright's death has raised concerns about traffic stops themselves and whether there are racial disparities in determining who gets stopped and, when they do, if the stop leads to background checks and or car searches. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Data does show racial disparities in police traffic stops. Have you had the experience of driving while black yourself? If so, we want to hear from you. Or do you have questions about research on traffic stops and who gets pulled over and searched? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Kelsey Schaub is an assistant professor of political science at the University of South Carolina, Columbia, and co-author of the book Suspect Citizens, What 20 Million Traffic Stops Tell Us About Policing and Race. Kelsey, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on the show.
Before we get into what you found in your research, Kelsey, I want to sort out a couple of different types of traffic stops that I think you distinguish pretty carefully between. There's a police observe somebody driving unsafely or speeding or something like that. And then there's the other kind of sort of an investigative, looking for trouble kind of stop. Can you sort those out for us?
Yeah. So there are hundreds and hundreds of reasons that any of us may be pulled over by the cops on any given day when we're driving down the street. Essentially, if someone wants to pull us over, or if a cop wants to pull us over, there's likely something we are doing in how we're driving that can facilitate that. However, when we're doing research on this, my co-authors and I and others tend to divide those like broad, very minute details into two different broad categories. One, as you already said, are the safety stops. So we do know that some folks are on the road driving unsafely. We want to increase that road safety. So like if someone's going like 65 in a 20 zone, they should probably get pulled over, get a ticket, get told to slow down, because that might cause a crash. They might hit people that are crossing the street, because what's going on in those zones is different. On the other side of things, though, are these investigatory or pretextual stops. So those are things that we categorize as reasons that you may be stopped, where underlying that is actually the intent to get a look inside of your car, stop you for a conversation to kind of suss out whether there should be a further investigation. And things that we categorize as more in line with that is something like expired tags, as in the Wright case, or some sort of vehicle code violation rather than the safety stops where it's like you're speeding, it's drunk driving or something like that.
So let's take this to your research now. You're there in South Carolina. Your neighbors to the north in North Carolina had a law that required them to collect data, including the race of people pulled over by police. As you started, you and your colleagues started to look at that data, what kind of things were you looking for?
Yeah, so when we started looking at the data, which is essentially every police department in North Carolina, be it the state police, sheriff's departments, or essentially anyone, any municipal police department of a reasonable size has to collect, we were primarily first looking at who was searched and looking at the racial disparities in who is being searched. And why we were doing that is it's actually pretty difficult to figure out like who is on the roadways, to figure out those disparities and who are being stopped in a statistical manner, I mean. So we started off by looking at who's searched, and what we found is what I think a lot of folks now, considering the conversations that have been going on, especially since last summer, is that Black folks are more likely to be searched following a traffic stop. And that actually increases that like disparity increases between Black and white drivers if you're pulled over for those investigatory or pretextual reasons rather than those safety reasons. Beyond that, what we found is that men, for example, are more likely to be searched than women. Younger folks are more likely to be searched than older folks. And using some data from other states, such as Illinois, we've also seen that folks that are driving essentially like older or potentially like worse looking cars, that are more likely to be in disrepair are also more likely to be pulled over and stopped or and searched.
one explanation I've seen offered, including by police agencies, I think in the past, is, hey, we're looking at higher crime neighborhoods or people who meet certain profiles that make them more likely that we're going to find something when we search them. When you look into the results of these searches, how does that argument stack up?
Yeah, so we've looked at this at a bunch of different ways. The two key ones, as it relates to your question, are first, on the like alternative explanations, we've done some other work that essentially tries to control for or account for as many of these different explanations as possible, such as the crime rates for the areas, the like diversity of the areas. So one of the other explanations is essentially like, if you look out of place in a neighborhood, the cops are going to stop and question you to make sure that you actually belong. So like if you control for those things, the race of the driver still is associated with how likely you are to be searched. So essentially in those cases, we still see Black drivers are more likely to be searched than white drivers. To the second point on the, well, they might just be carrying more contraband on them. They like certain populations might be more criminal is how it's sometimes phrased. To look at that, we've looked at who's actually found with contraband following those searches. And what we found is on average, actually, that Black drivers, at least in our North Carolina data, are found with contraband less often than white drivers are. So one interpretation of those results is that they're actually essentially over-policing the Black population and under-policing the white population.
We are talking to Kelsey Schaub from the University of South Carolina, Columbia, co-author of the book Suspect Citizens, What 20 Million Traffic Stops Tell Us About Policing and Race. And we're looking at traffic stops in particular. Kelsey, so what do you take home after looking at this as to the cause of these racial disparities you found in searches?
So there are two general causes that I would say the research points to in this case. I mean, it's a little difficult to disentangle the two. And one are implicit biases, which have also been talked about a bit, especially since this past summer, where essentially all of us out there in the world have these biases that are ingrained within us, essentially by society, that the media, our daily interactions and all that kind of condition us to have these shortcuts, these heuristics that we use in low information environments, such as in a traffic stop when an officer might not have full information about like what the driver's doing, what their intentions are and all that. And one of the sets of those implicit biases that most of us have are that we're gonna view especially young Black men and Black folks more generally is more suspicious. And as a result, in terms of policing, what that means is that those folks are going to get pulled over more often. They're going to be searched more often and just see essentially more negative outcomes, more surveillance by the cops. The other is that there's something more systematic going on, that agencies are making decisions that are either intentionally or unintentionally targeting these communities. One way to essentially combat both of those things, though, is through various types of policy changes that can either limit the discretion of officers on the ground or essentially rein in some of those disparities across the different neighborhoods. Such as, for example, one reform that people have instituted in various forms is looking at consent searches. So if you're pulled over, there are a couple of different ways you might get searched One is a probable cause search. So that'd be like you have contraband lying out in your car. For example, like you might have like a beer cracked in the front seat. Your car may reek of marijuana or something like that, which you're not supposed to be doing when you're driving. And so then the officer would have probable cause to search your car. The other form is a consent search where an officer can pull you over, ask if they can search you, the passengers, or the car, and then you have to give them explicit consent for a search to occur at that point. It is fully within your rights to say no. A lot of people do not, because the power dynamics in such a situation are such that like saying no might not feel like an actual option at that point in time. So in some places, what they've done is either ban those consent searches, which is what the state of Connecticut has done starting in October 2020, or shifted over to like a written consent form where all of that is explicitly laid out. And in both of, at least for the written consent form, what we've seen is like that decreases the number of searches and it decreases, essentially benefits both white and Black drivers. as a result.
We're talking to Kelsey Schaub, assistant professor of political science at the University of South Carolina, Columbia, author, co-author of the book Suspect Citizens, What 20 Million Traffic Stops Tell Us About Policing and Race. We're looking at racial disparities in traffic stops and ensuing searches. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts on this idea of investigatory or pretextual traffic stops? That is, stopping someone, the police stopping someone, not because of a specific safety violation, but to look for evidence of a crime. Do you think police have too much leeway to pull people over, or do you think it's a valuable tool? Have you been pulled over for a bad reason, do you think? If you work in law enforcement and you've made traffic stops, love to hear your perspective on this as well. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with University of South Carolina political scientist Kelsey Schaub. She analyzed 14 years worth of traffic stops and found consistent racial and gender disparities in how police conduct traffic stops and who gets searched further after that stop. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the topic, maybe your questions, or your own experiences. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Kelsey, what do we know about the benefits of these investigatory stops? Are these stops finding lots of crime evidence?
The short answer is no. So what ends up happening with these stops is that a small proportion of people get searched, be it from these investigatory stops or via like more safety stops. When they do search the cars, they often don't find anything. Sometimes they do. And when they do, what they find is usually like very small amounts of contraband. So it might be like, a smoked joint is in the car or a can of beer is open. It's not like they're finding huge catches of contraband. That being said, there are occasions where they do find this, do find these huge catches of drugs. However, what we've seen a couple of times, at least in North Carolina, is some of that evidence actually gets thrown out because of the nature, investigatory nature, either of the stop or based off of the stop patterns of a given officer. So for example, there have been a couple of cases in North Carolina where evidence has gotten thrown out because whoever stopped the car, the officer who had stopped the car, had actually only been stopping and searching Latino drivers rather than actually either not really searching people or stopping and searching a variety of people. So again, short answer, not a huge benefit to them.
Now, I know this is a little outside of your research, I think, and this might be something that is hard to research given maybe the lack of data out there, but a big concern, obviously, is when these stops lead to violence, either a police-involved shooting or violence committed by the person pulled over themselves. Do we know how common either of those events are?
So I, unfortunately, do not have hard numbers for North Carolina, how often those occur following a stop. Partially that is because we chose not to really dig into that because they are recorded as happening so infrequently, even among 20 million stops. More generally, it's actually a pretty hard thing to study because there aren't really like nationalized databases yet cataloging these uses of force incidents or cataloging police shootings more generally.
Now, you were able to study North Carolina because of a law in that state recording this data. How common is it for states to do that and to really watch these traffic stops and have that racial breakdown to where you could even start to study the racial breakdown of stops?
Yeah, so it seems like it's been an increasingly common type of law that state legislatures have passed, often in response to some sort of like driving while black or in the essentially our current period, like a BLM kind of protest wave going on. So the other state that also has pretty long running statewide data that's at the individual level, like North Carolina, is the state of Illinois. And so we see similar patterns from North Carolina in that Illinois data, which to us tells us that at least what we were identifying in North Carolina is means that like these racial disparities aren't a Southern problem, which I think in today's America, from what's going on from video evidence, people have stopped really trying to argue. Beyond that, other states like Connecticut, Maryland, I think California recently started making public their data, have been passing these laws, starting like racial justice task forces, or at least just investigations into whether and to what extent there might be disparities or like over-policing going on. A great example of that is Connecticut, which also actually formed like a unit that actually analyzed all of that data. And then over this past summer, they pushed through some emergency legislation that actually implemented some of the things that they flagged as problems previously.
So, as we wrap up, Kelsey, what was the response to your study in North Carolina? Did anybody work to make changes based on the evidence you provided?
I would say the response was mixed. So some of how we even like got some of the information for the book were steered to look at some of those specific policies we looked at, such as the written consent form, is because we actually did go out and talk with and to some of these agencies, and specifically those that had already kind of gone through a period of turmoil with their local population, such as the Fayetteville Police Department, and they were then in the midst of repairing those bonds, were actually like pretty excited to talk to us, because we ended up doing some analysis that showed like some of the things they were doing were actually working, and that it wasn't negatively affecting any sort of like arrest rate. And in turn, when they like actually publicly implemented that written consent switch from a verbal consent to a written consent for those types of searches, you actually saw more calls for service. So people actually calling in and asking for the police to come and help them or to give them information. The rate of those went up after that.
And we'll leave it there. Kelsey, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Kelsey Schaub, assistant professor of political science at the University of South Carolina, Columbia, co-author of the book Suspect Citizens, What 20 Million Traffic Stops Tell Us About Policing and Race.